disappointed. We show one more time like a month.
Thoughts, a frustrating afternoon, I suspect.
Yeah, disappointed. We show one more time like Monday that we're a better team than our opponent, but we need, it's true that this is an area that we need to improve for the next season, to be more solid and show more consistency in some action, and this is the next step that we need to improve for fight for the title.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
You know something cool about our show? We mix it up music-wise. Volbeat. Chris Wondolowski is coming up. He will be on the program. The number to call, 703-780-3776. Quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they bring a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-0383. Whether you're a car accident, whether it's a car, boat, motorcycle, these are stressful times when you get in an accident. Industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. I even hate to say it, but wrongful death. The Daspit Law Firm will assure you that they will treat your case as if it is their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. The Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. It's 713-588-0383. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Again, we thank all our sponsors, Bar Munich, Amigo Energy, Bud Light, Daspit Law Firm, The Gorgeous Gale, 7-Up, and we do thank 7-Up very much for their great support. I did mention Bud Light, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture. Great sponsors of this show, and Copa Centenario as well here in Houston. All right, we got a great opportunity here. Former Houston Dynamo, now with the San Jose Earthquakes. One of the all-time great goal scorers in Major League Soccer. You say that right away without any hesitation. He is Chris Wondolowski. He joins us now. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah. So let's first talk about this version of San Jose this year. This to me looks like an improved team.
Yeah, absolutely. I like where we're headed and the things that we've done. I think that we've become a lot more dynamic, especially in the offensive third. The additions, Simon Dawkins and Alberto Quintero, they add something that I don't think we've had in the past and makes it a little bit more unpredictable. And I think that we have stayed pretty disciplined and organized defensively, which has helped as well.
Now, how do those two guys change your game maybe a little bit? Do you play your game a little bit differently based on those two guys that obviously have a great range of passing and are creators?
Yeah, I try to adapt as much as I can. I think that it helps my game where I just have to try to make runs where defenders aren't, and they're such great players where they're still able to create off the dribble. They're able to, create with some of their passing and their vision. But also they're such smart players that, they make good runs where it opens up space as well. And so I think that all those three components that really helped.
He's U.S. International, Chris Wondolowski, also a member of the San Jose Earthquakes. You can catch the Dynamo and Earthquakes tomorrow night here in Houston on Root Sports Southwest, starting with a half-hour pregame show. And, Chris, you'll definitely be a part of our pregame show, that's for sure. So we're excited to talk about you. Listen, I remember when you were here in Houston, and you were one of the hardest-working players I saw out there, and I just thought, this guy's never going to be denied. Do you ever pinch yourself knowing where you've come from? I know it has been a great journey and a great odyssey, and I know you've always been a very responsible soccer player and taking care of yourself as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, like you've mentioned, a pretty crazy journey, and it's still, I think, is slowly sinking in. But, some of my most fondest years and some of the best years were in Houston. And even though I wasn't playing as much, I loved every minute I was down there with the guys in the locker room, to the fans, to be able to win two championships, which is still some of the biggest highlights of my career. And, it's some special times, and I think it's slowly sinking in, you know, just this whole journey and, you know, where it's come, and it's kind of weird and interesting where it's kind of come full circle with Coach Kinnear as well and Dominic, and so being coached by him again, and so it's kind of an interesting path.
You know what goal I remember you scoring against Pachuca down here at Robertson Stadium?
That's probably one of my most memorable goals that I will never forget. That was a great game, 2-0, and to be able to beat them. And I wish they had the away goals then. We would advance down in Pachuca, but instead we lost in overtime down there. That was a fun series.
Don't you think those were great games? I honestly miss that, all that competition, and what was it called, the Interliga? I thought it was fantastic, especially in this market, because each and every time you played a Mexican club, you had an opportunity to change opinion about Major League Soccer, and it was opportunity after opportunity. The Dynamo had a wonderful record against Mexican League teams.
It did. It was a great opportunity to show what you have, to showcase you know, a high level of competition, and you know, it was they were fun tournaments. You know, Champions League was always great, but I think Superliga and you know, a couple other, maybe some other tournaments that were very, very exciting and fun times.
Yeah, they were great games. You guys got a little bit of an injury problem right now, right? You got a couple guys out injured, but you do have depth in the squad, and that's another thing that's been added this year, right?
That's something that I think we've missed in years past, and we've been hit a little bit by the injury bug. We're starting to get some guys healthy, but we've had to rely on some very young guys and some guys a little wet behind the ears. So they've done a great job, and it's been amazing to see what they've to step up and to do the things that they've been able to do. And you know, I'm so proud of what we had Matias Silva, who's with a 19-year-old making his first start at Seattle. And so, you know, it's a tough place to make your debut. And it's he came in there and had to sit in the center of the park and, you know, defensive mid, and I thought he did a fine job. And, you know, I was really proud with the way he responded to that.
Your manager, Dominic Kinnear, who was here in Houston, you went in a trade to San Jose. Cam Weaver came to Houston. Is Dominic a different type of coach now for you in San Jose? Does he seem different based on the absence and the time period that you guys were apart?
He has the same philosophies. He's definitely, I think, he's still one of the most intense coaches and people that and most competitive, which I love about it. But he's mellowed out a little bit, and he's still, you know, he still has that fire that drives him, but he, you know, I think has gotten a little bit more perspective, and, you know, I've enjoyed the relationship that we've had now. You know, I know back in Houston when he was the coach, I was nervous all around him. You know, anytime I had to go talk to him, my hands start getting sweaty, but now we have a great relationship. We joke around, you know, happy to call him. You know, he's just a great guy and fun to play for right now, and, you know, really enjoying his time.
What was the first thing Dominic said to you, you know, when he got back to San Jose?
Oh, it was actually kind of funny. He called me in the office and he told me I was traded. And so he was joking around, but that was I think the first thing. And so, but we talked many times, you know, before he came back to San Jose, and stayed in touch. And you know, even when Houston was making the championship games, I was actually there, and I, you know, I was rooting for the Dynamo to win it, and unluckily, they didn't pull it off. But I remember seeing him after games, before the games, and you know, he's always we've had a pretty good relationship.
Well, it's nice to hear he's happy back in San Jose, and he's been a big part of soccer out there. All right, you guys are 4-0-1 at Avaya. What is it? And take my listeners into this area. What is it about Avaya Stadium that makes it difficult for the opponent? I obviously, it's you guys as a team, but what else? Is the atmosphere intimidating there? What's it like?
I do. I think it is a bit of an intimidating atmosphere. We, you know, we slow down. We get our fans there. There are people that fill the seats, and I believe that we have some of the most loyal, knowledgeable, dedicated fans. And the way that the stadium is built is very steep. And so everyone, all the seats are right there, right on top of you. And so it gets really loud as well. And so, you know, when we're going, if we're playing well, or even if we need, you know, we start to hit the wall a little bit in the 80th, 85th minute, our crowd gets behind us and really pushed us through through those tough times.
Chris, check this out. The Elias Sports Bureau, who does a wonderful job with analytics and stats, they say with a goal against the Houston Dynamo, you would become the second player in MLS history to score against 21 different teams, including all the 20 current in the league. Now, I never would have found that out. Did you know that?
I did not. I did know that Houston's the only team I haven't scored against, but I did not know all that yet.
All right, David Bingham, I want to talk about him because I think he's a very solid goalkeeper, and he looks like he's growing by the game.
Yes, he is. I think he's going to be the future of U.S. soccer goalkeeping. I'm obviously very biased, but I think he's an amazing goalkeeper, and he's a young kid. He's ambitious, wants to keep learning, wants to keep getting better and better, and he has great athleticism, great size, and I think he's going to continue to be a phenomenal goalkeeper.
He's San Jose Earthquake striker Chris Wondolowski in action against the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night. Again, that's a game that will be aired here in Houston on Root Sports Southwest. What are your initial thoughts on the Dynamo? Dynamo coming off a win here, trying to do it back-to-back.
Yeah, you know, I was able to watch them again. They watched some of the video, and they looked so dangerous. And I know they had a little bit of a rough spell, you know, last month or so, but they started off phenomenal as well. And they're so dangerous. And Maidana, and, you know, when you have Will Bruin scoring and Torres up there and Giles Barnes is healthy, it's, you know, they have such a great attacking crew that it's hard just to concentrate on one guy, and they're so fluid in their movement. Andrew Wenger's been doing a phenomenal job as well, and you know they make it very difficult to track those runners and to stay organized. And so a lot of credit to them there. And I think defensively, obviously I've always been a biggest fan of Ricardo Clark. I think that he still does a great job of running down that middle and holds. Covers so much ground, and you know a lot of his stats necessarily don't go in the box score, but I think he does so much for a team. And again, I think he's doing a great job there, and their back line is very tough as well.
Chris, if you were to just pick a player out on your team that, from a viewing standpoint and an entertainment standpoint, outside of yourself, because everybody's eyes are going to be on you, but outside of yourself, who would be one that you would think that people should keep a big eye on tomorrow night for San Jose?
I think people should keep an eye on Simon Dawkins. Just watch his touch, especially his first touch. It's so subtle what he does with it, but it's amazing. You know how well he moves the ball, or just on the move takes it, and it's such a great weapon to use that first touch while going full speed and take on a defender. And I think he does a great job of that.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program. I know everything's been going great for you in your life. You got a wonderful family, scoring goals all the time. It's been great watching your rise in Major League Soccer and for the national team. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate you guys having me, and always been a big fan of yours. Thank you for everything you've helped along the way. You've done a lot, so thank you.
We got a bromance. It goes right back to you. So keep up the keep up the good work. Chris, thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn. No problem.
All right. What a wonderful young man. Well, he's not a young man anymore, but, amazing story here in Houston. Chris Wondolowski, when he was on the Dynamo, to supplement his income, was working, coaching and working with a girls team over in Bel Air. And I was still at that time working with one little group of guys over there. I wanted to keep my hand in the game and work with kids because it's a great sort of balance to you're broadcasting, because you have to bring out coaching points with kids in a training session. It's the same thing you have to do on television. And I remember him being on the other side of the field, and we used to chat at, when the kids were having a water break and stuff. Little did we know, he was going to just start pounding in goals. It is one incredible, incredible story, Chris Wondolowski. All right, going to take a break. Seventh caller right now. I got a pair of tickets, Dynamo Real Salt Lake. We're going to take a 7-Up break. These tickets, courtesy of 7-Up, and HoustonDynamo.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm proud because it's one of our basic targets, not the only one, unfortunately. This season we are only in a position we can get this one, but it's as well important for the future of the team and of the club. And first of all, to show a great consistency, and secondly, to do it again. Because if you look at all the teams, if you look at Leicester, has come in, of course, one position less for everybody else, so it was not easy this season.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show after that wonderful 7-up break there as we continue on. That was Arsene Wenger. So you Arsenal fans that are out there, 713-780-3776. Nothing like consistency in the Champions League all the time. You happy with Arsenal, Arsenal fan? 713-780-3776. I'm sure the balance sheet looks real good. They're getting that Champions League money each and every season. In Arsenal, we trust? 713-780-3776. Who do you think are the most exciting managers worldwide right now? Well, certainly Claudio Ranieri's one. For the older set, Jurgen Klopp has breathed incredible life, freshness, and excitement into Liverpool. Diego Simeone at Atletico Madrid. And I'm picking them to win the Champions League over Real Madrid. I know you Cristiano Ronaldo fans and Real Madrid fans. I just think it's their time. But who else would you put there with exciting managers? Slaven Bilic, West Ham United, you got to put him in there as well. Most exciting managers for you. 713-780-3776. All right, let's go to the U.S. preliminary roster for the Copa Centenario. No, we won't. We will get Tom Marshall because that's who we've been waiting on. Before I go to Tom, real quick here, with a game to go, Manchester City will be playing Swansea. Manchester United will be playing Bournemouth, and West Ham United will be playing Stoke. It's City's to lose now, make sure that Pep Guardiola is going to get Champions League play. He joins us from Guadalajara, Mexico. He is a great friend of this show. He is Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. Tom, how are you? I think we're having a connection problem. Tom, are you there? We might have to try him again. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Unfortunately, that didn't work, so we'll try to do that again. Manchester United today played West Ham at the Bowling Ground. West Ham went out in style. Last ever game there. 3-2 defeat over Manchester United. All but ends pretty much the hopes for Louis van Gaal and United to get into the Champions League. So what's going to happen there? You want Jose Mourinho? We had one caller who's all about Jose Mourinho.
Okay, let's try it again.
Okay, we're going to try it again with Tom Marshall now. Tom, are you there?
Hello.
Ah, Glenn. Now we got you, Tom. There's that familiar voice. Thank you very much for coming on the program as well. Tom Marshall of ESPN FC joining us now. Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn, yeah. I mean, pretty busy with, obviously, the playoffs coming up in the Liga MX and, obviously, the massive Clásico Nacional, Chivas America. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, so give us just a little overview of the Liga MX playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've had Monterrey, who pretty much dominated the regular season. And I think, you know, they're going up against Tigres. So, you know, I know it's not far from you guys up there in Texas. So that's going to be a really, really good game. For me, probably, you know, the best two teams in the Liga MX and possibly even the best two Liga MX teams we've actually seen in recent years. I mean, they are very, very good squads. So that's one not to miss. But, the really big one is Chivas America. You know, it's been almost 10 years since we've had a Clásico Nacional in the Ligue 1, in the playoffs. So, you know, the whole country's really now just gearing up to this, you know, Thursday in Estadio Chivas and then on Sunday in Estadio Azteca. And, you know, the good thing about this game is that it's so difficult to pick. I mean, you could make your argument for either team. But again, two good teams, two teams that like to attack. And I just think it's going to be very, very exciting. I think it's going to be a top game.
Tom, just speak a little bit about the differences in Tigres and Monterrey and Rayados. I have my opinions on that, but this is deeper than just rivals. This goes a little bit deeper.
Tigres and Monterrey, sorry, Glenn.
Yes, Monterrey.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a rivalry that completely splits the city. I think, you know, traditionally Tigres is like the more working class team, and you know, Monterrey a bit more money, but you know, that's not necessarily the way it plays out these days. But you know, basically what they've got in common is that the two teams that have put a lot of money into the playing squad, and you know, the results are there. You know, Tigres are the reigning champion, Monterrey are there. You know, they won the regular season, and you know, they've got some extremely good players, and I think it's going to be an absolute quality game that a real tactical battle. I don't think it's going to be completely exciting like the Chivas America game, but you know, in terms of an advert for the Liga MX, you know, you've got the Monterrey's new stadium, which is unbelievable. You've got Tigres, which the atmosphere in the Estadio Universitario is, you know, is the place in the Liga MX to go. So, yeah, a great advert for the Mexican game. And, you know, I think for me it's the best rivalry, the best derby, the best clásico in Mexico.
Yeah, and it kind of plays into the Mexican League getting a lot of publicity as of late. André Pierre Gignac of Tigres, a Frenchman, plays for the French national team, says Liga MX is more powerful than League One. Thinks culturally that Mexico is a bigger footballing country. Do you agree with that than France?
I mean, I think Gignac is obviously, I think because he's here and he's maybe slightly biased because, you know, obviously he's getting the big bucks in Tigres. But, you know, I think he's someone who's just adapted really, really well to not just playing for Tigres, but life in Mexico. I mean, I think he obviously finds it easier. I mean, he scored 13 goals this season in, 16 games. He's again topped the goal-scoring charts. Is the Mexican League better than League One? I'd say no. I mean, I think there's a way to go. I think, you know, physically, if you put a League One team against the Liga MX teams, I think the League One teams would defeat them, you know, because they're bigger and they're faster and, you know, they'd overpower them. But, I mean, I think when he talks about, you know, football and culture, I think, you know, France isn't, say, you know, an England or a Germany or a Spain. I think France traditionally, you know, they've got certain other sports like, you know, obviously the Tour de France and the rugby, which are very strong in certain regional parts as well. So I understand what he's saying. I mean, you know, especially because he's at Tigres. So he's playing in front of, you know, 40,000 people week in, week out. And there's very few places in France, I mean, where he came from, Marseille is one of them, that you really do produce that kind of passion.
Yeah, and here, listen to this quote. He says, quote, here there is more, and he's talking about the Mexican League. Here there is more passion, more identification with the club, more respect for the players and the colors. Quote, you play all the time in stadiums with capacities of 40,000 to more than 100 that are often full.
Yeah.
People in France talk a lot about MLS, the United States, and its expansion, but I played over there in the CONCACAF Champions League against Real Salt Lake. It's good. There's a nice stadium, a superb pitch, but it's nothing compared to Liga MX. Even my Argentinian and Brazilian teammates at Tigres, who are internationals, tell me that the Mexican League has become better than their own. It's the reference in South, Central, and North America. So basically, Gignac, with a pat on the back from his Argentinian and Brazilian teammates, he and they agree that the Mexican League may be the biggest league in this part of the world, and that includes over the Argentinian and Brazilian League. And I think it's hard to argue with that when it comes from a financial and a stability standpoint.
Yeah, definitely in terms of the finance, I think that obviously the big thing that the Mexican League right now, to back up what kind of Gignac is saying, is to win the Libertadores. I mean, we've seen the Mexican teams, you know, absolutely, you know, dominate the CONCACAF Champions League. Obviously, the MLS clubs have a, you know, their complaints about the timing of the knockout rounds. But no, I think Gignac's right, and I think that But I think a really key point to mention is that Gignac is slightly different. I mean, his career, he's said a lot of crazy stuff. He's got a kind of a different personality. He's not your standard player. And I think that for him coming to Mexico, he's just loved it. He's just taken to everything. He's taken to the food. He's taken to the culture. You know, and it's not for every player. Like some players would, you know, they want to go and play in Los Angeles. They want to play in Chicago, New York.
Yeah, that's a safe. But yeah, you're bringing a great point up because that's a safe bet. This guy is a bit of a risk taker, and that's what I love about him. I mean, listen, even Jurgen Klinsmann in his career, he took some real risks going to Spurs, going to play in France at Monaco. This guy's a guy who's got, an adventurous spirit, a cavalier spirit. He knew the strength and quality of Mexico, and he went there and embraced it. And then with that attitude going there, then you're probably going to do very, very well.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I know he's adamant that, you know, it's not an easy league, and he's really stressed that, you know, that in conversation that I've heard about haven't necessarily been official. So he's adamant that this is a really, really good league, and that from what I've heard, you know, he wants to stay in Mexico for a while and really help to build not just Tigres but the league. And you know, I know that he's had a lot of phone calls from people in Europe, and you know, with the money on the table. The money that Gignac is getting and the money he received for the signing on bonus, then I don't know. There's no reason why the Mexican League can't compete with, you know, the middle teams in Spain for players. There's no reason for that. So, yes, I mean, obviously the Mexican League has that potential, but sometimes there's the other side of it, and you know, we have to mention it. We can't just mention the Tigres and Monterreys. I mean, you know, there's two teams that the players haven't been paid for the last couple of months, and I mean, for me. You know, covering the game down here in Mexico, they really have to sort that side of the game out, because if they can do that, then all of a sudden you've got a package which is, I think, incredibly, you know, powerful and attractive to top players.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, joining us. You know who else was a risk taker in moving to Mexico, Tom?
Go on.
Tom Marshall. An Englishman thriving down there in the world of football. I love it. Yeah, you got a cavalier spirit, right? To take a job down there covering the Mexican League, it's very unique.
Oh yeah,
I left you speechless, didn't I? The first time I left you speechless ever. All right, who's your favorite? Is Pachuca a favorite to win this?
I'd say Monterrey. I just think that they're on form. The key thing is they had a real preseason before. You know, in over the winter, so they've not been really involved in any continental competition. So they, you know, the America and Tigres have all been involved in CONCACAF Champions League. So I'm going Monterrey. I mean, some of the players, Carlos Sanchez, you know, he won the Libertadores with River Plate, you know, international, be it the Copa America with Uruguay, you know, Darwin Pavon, Edwin Cardona, the Colombian, you know, starter now for the Colombian national team. I mean, for me, these are, you know, Jose Maria Basanta, the centre-back. I mean, I just think they're a really complete team. You know, if you want to play physically against them, they can mix it. They've also got pace. They've also got, you know, they've got creativity. So I think as a package, you have to say Monterrey. But especially in that quarter-final against Tigres, I mean, you can make the argument for Tigres. I mean, Tuca Ferretti is now, he's going to, on 20th of May, I think, you know, he's going to complete 6 years in charge of Tigres. And for me, they're the most well-defined team in terms of they know what they're doing. You know the tactically what they want to do. All the players know the jobs. And now they're in the playoffs. And they've got Gignac there just on fire, just after having scored twice last Saturday. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating game. But yeah, for me, Monterrey. And then I think I'd go Club America. And then I'd go Pachuca, Chivas, and Tigres below that.
Yeah, I mean, these semifinals are incredible. I mean, this is going to be so much drama. You got a Monterrey derby in one. You got the Clásico Nacional in one. If Chivas knocks off Club America, will it be fair to us to say that Chivas is back?
Yeah, tentatively, because we all know with Chivas that things can change very quickly. But, you know, right now, there's so much positivism going through the club, and a lot of it stems from Matias Almeida, the old Argentine international, who is really coming to the club. You know, he's come from River Plate. He's got the background of big, big clubs. And he's not shown any fear. He's got the team playing really attacking football. The crowd are loving it. The people are loving it, and Chivas have just got a bit of swagger about him right now. And you have to say that you have to give credit as well to the owner, Jorge Vergara, because for the first time in many years, even when Chivas were going through a bad patch earlier this season, Vergara didn't fire the coach. And usually the first thing he does when Chivas has 3-4 bad games is fire the coach. But Vergara, to be fair to him, with Almeida, he said, you know what, this is the guy that I want. I like what he says. I like the, what he's trying to implement in terms of style-wise. He works well with the young players, so I'm sticking with him. And you know, these are the rewards. And I think that it's a good example for other clubs that, you know, you can have a bad patch of games, but if you really believe in the vision of somebody, and especially, you know, a head coach, then sometimes you have to stick with it and go through the rough patch to get to the smooth bit, which is what Chivas are going through right now.
Yeah, simply give them some time to work. Everybody's so quick to pull the trigger on managers these days. Tom, as always, thank you very much, and we're excited about the Mexican League playoffs coming up.
Yeah, no problem, Glenn. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I can't wait for these games. I think they're going to be, you know, really ones not to miss.
I'm with you. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it very much. And we'll talk to you soon. That's Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, quickly to the phone lines. And Juan, Juan, you got about a minute and a half, so you're going to have to make it quick because we're up on a hard break. How are you, Juan?
Hey, Glenn, I just wanted your opinion on the overall quality of the leagues in the Americas, you know, Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, South America versus North America. And speaking of, you know, quick to fire managers, this is Arsenal fan Juan. I've called. It's been a long time.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
He needs to go.
You want Wenger to go?
Who is the best?
But how does he go? How does he go? How does he go, Wenger? Well, we'll talk about that in a second because I want to answer this question. And that's why infrastructure has a lot to do and money has a lot to do with the strength of leagues. And there's no doubt there's talent all over the place in Colombia, Brazil, and Argentina. But that's why that talent is leaving those domestic leagues. Look at MLS, for example, the amount of players they've got from those three countries. Because some of these teams don't pay their players. There's not security like there is in Major League Soccer, and then even to a larger extent from the payroll in the Mexican League. So I don't think there's any question. The Mexican League, I think, in this part of the world, is number one. And there's going to be people saying, are you kidding me? Over Brazil and Argentina? And I'm going to say definitively yes for those reasons.
You're thinking stability versus quality.
Well, but the quality is leaving a lot of those leagues. Yeah, sure, the Carlos Tevezes are going to come back because they're going to throw a boatload of money out of them. But what about his teammates? What about the overall strength of the league? I don't think there's any question that there's great quality there. But I still think the Mexican League is the league you got to go top to bottom to in this hemisphere. So just my thought. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, well, look, we can look at a River Plate and Boca Juniors match or the top match in Brazil, and it's going to look packed and everything. It's an awful lot of stadiums that are empty for a lot of first division teams down in those countries, Colombia as well. Great soccer playing stations.
I'd love to hear your opinions on Wenger.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get to that tonight. If not, we definitely have a lot of time to talk about it. Juan, thank you very much. And again, these are great soccer playing countries: Brazil, Argentina, and Colombia. All right, we'll take another 7-Up break here, and we will come back. We got more to come here. Coming up, Brian Dunseth.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Soccer fans, summer's here. That means you have to sweat not just watching your favorite soccer team, but also your energy bill. Amigo Energy has a solution for that. Sign up for Amigo Energy Basics 24 and receive a $50 bill credit exclusively for Soccer Matters listeners.
If you're moving, call us first. If you're up for renewal, look us up and switch. Did you know Amigo Energy is a Public Utility Commission 5-star rated provider? That's right. You get both rates and great service from Amigo Energy. Don't delay. It's www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters and sign up for Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299. That's 888-995-9299. For details on the $50 offer, again, go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. And our thanks to Amigo Energy. And if you like saving money, Amigo Energy is the place to go on your electric bill. With that, we bring in, you have seen him on Fox. You've seen him on ESPN. He's also the analyst for Real Salt Lake. Twitter, he is at Brian Dunseth. He is Brian Dunseth. He joins us now. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, my man. Good to be back. I always enjoy being a part of the show.
No, it's always a pleasure. Always fun working with you as well. And appreciate all your opinion on the game of soccer. By the way, am I the only guy that calls you Brian?
Yes, pretty much. Those that know me, I'm Dunny. And for those that don't know, I learned that the hard way, that Dunny isn't exactly the nickname that you want when you go to Australia, because you find out very quickly that it's an outhouse, and that makes for some awkward looks during the Olympics in 2000.
That's funny. And Brian was on the U.S. Olympic team back then, a defender. Also, we know him from his career in Major League Soccer. So do you want me to call you Dunny? Or?
Yeah, Dunny.
I don't know why I've always called you Brian.
Yeah, no, you've always, from day one, man, you've always shown me the utmost respect, and I truly appreciate it. One of the guys I look up to.
Well, right back at you. We appreciate it. All right, let's get into some MLS talk, because I know you got some good opinions on things. I look at L.A., and I look at where they are, and Dos Santos in form, and Zardes in form, and Robbie Keane coming back, and they stay in form. They're pretty scary to me.
I would 100% agree. You know, I think there's a lot of questions heading into this last week, and I think there still will be, just because of kind of the up-and-down performances that we've seen from Gio Dos Santos. But where does Robbie Keane play? In the beginning of the season, it was Robbie Keane up top, Zardes kind of underneath him, Gio on one side, Legette on the other. But I think what we figured out now, and Bruce figured out pretty quickly, is that he's going to play Giassi as his point striker. Robbie's going to play underneath. Robbie's played that position virtually his entire life. It's where he's had the most success in his career, whether at the international level or the domestic level. And Gio seems to be finding his rhythm. And I think it's kind of a double-edged sword of the acquisition of Ashley Cole, Nigel de Jong, and kind of the readjustment of where Steven Gerrard is playing and where does Robbie Rogers fit in the equation. Really overlapping runs, overloading midfields, and getting the most out of this offensive kind of powerhouse that we're seeing from the Galaxy.
I'll tell you what, too. I would throw Van Damme in there because he is a big center back that's a bit of an enforcer, and
yep.
And he stands out, quite frankly. I mean, there's a lot of solid center backs in this league, but this guy looks like an intimidator. He looks like a competitor. He looks like a good signing as well.
Yeah, I would agree. And the play of Daniel Sturridge has been pretty impressive as well. But Yelle Van Damme, as you said, I mean, a guy that his entire career has played left back. He slots in centrally. I still think he makes some poor decisions in terms of his positioning. But we saw a couple incredible recovery tackles down at BBVA Compass Stadium during LA's win, what was it, about a month ago now. So he's got a pretty sizable range of athleticism, and yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how this team continues to evolve. A team that's a little bit older, team that picks up some niggling injuries, and yet right now is looking much different than the previous four seasons we've seen from LA Galaxy teams that start off a little bit slow in the beginning of the year.
Brian Dunseth joining us, former Major League Soccer player, analyst at Fox, ESPN, also for Real Salt Lake. We'll talk a little bit about Real Salt Lake before we're done here, Brian, but I wanted to take you into the interesting news that we saw that John Terry's wage demands coming to Major League Soccer were turned down. I looked at that and I said, hallelujah. I started clapping and I said, you know what? MLS is maturing. MLS is growing up. And MLS is not necessarily going to take guys like John Terry because they want a golden handshake at the end of their career.
Yeah, and I missed it. Do you, off the top of your head, what was his wage demands?
Well, I don't know the number, but obviously there were no takers in Major League Soccer, so it was too high for everybody. And I guess for me, it just means, you know, like, let's think about this designated player position. Seriously, are we going to use it on defenders? I mean, if you're building a team, are you going to – yeah, maybe L.A., they can do that, some of these teams, with the money teams. But can everybody else afford to waste a designated player position on a defender or a center back? Come on.
Yeah, no, and it becomes a really fascinating conversation, doesn't it, with Ashley Cole taking $300,000 this year. I think there is something to be said, and it's a very fine line and an interesting conversation point about guys that are quote-unquote at the end of their career but are somewhere between that $300,000 and $500,000 per season that are coming over for more of the life experience along with the football, with soccer, as opposed to looking for that parachute. But, yeah, to your point, I think we are evolving, and I think it's something to be said about teams and organizations looking for impact players both on and off the field as opposed to just off the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was healthy that occurred, and it gets us looking at things in a very differing way, without a doubt. Frank Lampard is one that really has not lived up to it, has he? Injury or no injury? Nobody's seen the guy play.
Yeah, and it's disappointing because I think he could add a lot to that organization. And you know what? Where I feel bad about Lampard, to be quite honest, was the bungling up of that entire situation from the top to the bottom. From when he was out of contract with Chelsea, when he signed, and everybody was under the assumption he'd signed with Major League Soccer, when we find out he'd actually signed with the Manchester Football Club ownership group. So different scenarios, different ideas. And I know Jason Kreis, I had dinner with him about a month and a half ago. I know he would have loved to have had Frank Lampard from day one, as opposed to having him and Andrea Pirlo thrown at him mid-season, having to switch up everything.
Speaking of Jason Kreis, Brian, you being such good friends with him, obviously I called a lot of the Dallas Burn games when he built his great career in Major League Soccer. And I saw him go from the college game to the pro game. But, you know, where do you think he is in the future? Does he want to get back to a day-to-day situation coaching an MLS team? We hear his name bannered around with a national team. Where do you think his wants and desires are in the future when it comes to managing?
Yeah, I would say without a shadow of a doubt, it's to get back to the day-to-day. I think right now it'll be fascinating to see kind of how he kind of implements his knowledge inside of Jurgen Klinsmann's kind of inner circle heading into the summer. I think he's definitely going to help Klinsmann in a lot of ways because, you know, a lot of people believe that Kreis was kind of the architect of that diamond formation and a successful diamond here in Major League Soccer. But I think when the right opportunity comes along, you will see Jason Kreis back in Major League Soccer at some point.
Now I move on to the Columbus Crew and Kai Kamara and Federico Higuain arguing over a penalty kick. I think Kamara, in the heat of the moment after the game, they were up 4-1 after that penalty, and Columbus should have won this game. They concede 3 goals, the final one to Dominic Oduro in stoppage time. Kamara's really upset, says a lot of things after the game. Is this as big a deal as everybody's making it?
See, I love it. I love it, to be quite honest with you. You know, we always talk, Lynn, about personalities and opening up the windows and pulling the curtain back and allowing, the fan base to see kind of the inside. And you see it in NFL, you see it in Major League Baseball, you see it in NBA. A lot of people, I think, are going to look at this blow up and say, well, Kai Kamara is only worried about his hat trick. Kai Kamara is only worried about goals. Well, you're damn right he is, because he's a goal scorer. And last year, he has 22 goals tied with Sebastian Giovinco, and he had 0 goals from the penalty spot, all from the run of play. Now, I'm not always one for airing your dirty laundry in public, but a part of me really does applaud him for being so open and honest, because that's what we always wish in terms of trying to grow the game here in Major League Soccer. Here's where I stand on the situation, big picture. I'll tell you, without talking to Kai yet and without talking to the guys on the inside, what I saw was a penalty kick situation where both Higuain and Kai Kamara were designated the 2 guys to take the penalties. Higuain has priority. when he offered it up to Ethan Finley, and Ethan said, no, I want Kai to take it, he was recognizing Kai had had two goals. And everybody can tell you, and you know this, Glenn, as well as I do, goal scorers are streaky, and you want to pump up their confidence. And any guy who's on two goals, the opportunity to have a hat trick is something special, whether it's his first hat trick or his last hat trick. Those are something special. But Higuain, in the moment, should have recognized, in my opinion, that there was something bigger than him being up 3-1 at home. Higuain had already had a goal. For me, he just should have conceded and given Kamara the goal. That's without the knowledge of his first hat trick in his professional career. That's more just recognizing, hey, last year this dude scored a lot of goals. Zero of them came from the PK spot. There should have been nothing wrong with Higuain deferring in that situation, and I think a lot of people would have.
Keep that goal scorer happy, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And you know, we want this. They're a streaky bunch. And, you know, it could happen in any team. And again, I'm not always one for airing your dirty laundry in public, but I think this is something that could easily be handled over beers or maybe a punch thrown, and two things that happen quite often in this league.
Hey, let's have a beer summit.
Absolutely.
Let's have a beer summit. Hey, by the way, and I think here's what I took from this, too. I think people in the public have to understand that soccer teams are like families, and sometimes everybody does not get along. And sometimes people don't really like each other, but they have to respect each other on the field. Now, I don't know what Kamara and Higuain's relationship is, but you having been on a bunch of teams, me having been on a bunch of teams, some teams get along better than others, and there's some guys you might not even like, but once the game starts, you do respect them, and you're glad they're on your team. So they spend a lot of time together. You know, you tell me about some of your situations on some of your pro teams. Did everybody really get along? Did everybody really like each other? Probably not.
No, not at all, Glenn. A lot of the time, you know, there were guys inside the locker room, and listen, it happens in every locker room. You look across that locker room, you see the guy sitting across from you, and you're like, man, if I could deck that guy just once, I'd be a happy man.
Exactly.
You know, if I could never see that human being again in my life, I would be the happiest guy in the world.
Yeah.
You definitely don't have to like guys to be successful, and the most successful teams in the world all have guys that hate each other, and that's totally fine. You got cliques, you got groups. You got guys that generally kind of float in the same direction.
You've got jealousy, Brian. Jealousy.
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the game. Yeah, money. When you look across, you're like, wait a second, that guy's making $1 million. He sucks. I'm so much better than him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it happens in every team. I'm not surprised anymore by any of it.
No, and I love it, though, when coaches, oh, we got a great locker room, you know, and then you hear a rumor two guys can't stand each other and they had a bust up in the locker room. All right, last one here. I'm going to read you a tweet from Casper Schmeichel of Leicester. What an amazing story. He says, quote, words cannot describe the love I have for my teammates. I dreamt of this since I was a boy. I will be forever grateful to you all. So that's him talking about his teammates after winning this thing, and he was a big part of this. You know, when I watched their celebration the other day, I was sitting on my couch going, I want to be on that team.
Yeah.
Those guys, the way, I mean, talking about teams that get along, doing the flip side here, those guys look so genuine. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you could feel it from just the way that they handled themselves. There was something bigger, something special. You know, you could see it from Wes Morgan being dragged around on his back inside of Jamie Vardy's kitchen after they won, after the announcement. There's some managers like Ranieri that can just get the most out of players. And it's something special. And I think they all recognize probably around the Christmas time, build up and glut of matches that they were onto something special. Listen, it'll probably never happen again in our lifetime, but man, oh man, what a time it was to be alive, to be a football fan, and even today to watch West Ham come from behind and sign off after 112 years of Bowling Ground at Upton Park with a 3-2 win against Man United. You know, the game's amazing, and it's really unlike, you know, 20, 25 years ago when we were looking around and looking for a pair of bunny ears to try to figure out a way to get City on at 6 a.m. On a Saturday or Sunday morning.
Unbelievable. 112-year-old stadium. And I felt kind of sad, actually, watching that stadium close, knowing Bobby Moore played there and all the history. And I just think sometimes we're so quick to lose all these great buildings, but I know it's progress when it comes to the financial side of the game now. Brian, as always, thank you so much for coming on the program.
I appreciate it, my man.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. That's Brian Dunseth. Right. We ended up here tonight in very, very big style. Quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They bring you personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-0383. Whether it's a car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm will assure you that they will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. The Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. So contact my friend John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-0383. For Tyler Scott, I'm Glenn Davis. We thank you for tonight. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. The podcasts are at podcastarena.com. And if you dare, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Good night. Until next week.
ESPN 97.5.